That's the matrix. That's how our collective reality is generated. And what it is, it's simply that the DNA antenna and its central processing unit, the brain, is picking up these waveforms and turning them into a holographic reality that only appears in our head or in our DNA. And when you look at a computer, you switch the computer on, where does the internet exist in the form that we see the internet? It doesn't exist in the phone lines. It doesn't exist in the cables in the form that we see it on the screen. It only exists on the screen in that form. And that's precisely what we're doing with our holographic reality. We are creating a reality that only exists in our heads. And so we're like computers locked into this holographic internet. Now, if we don't bring consciousness in, that silence between the thoughts, then we can be controlled by just following and playing out the program, the computer program. And when we bring consciousness in, that's when we start to express all possibility. That's when we start to see things that we don't when we are following the computer program. And the computer program people then look at you and go, you're mad, you're strange. No, you're different because you are in this world, but you are not of it. You are experiencing this world from the perspective of being infinite consciousness beyond the program and not experiencing this world as the program. And that's why throughout what we call history, people who have said these things have been considered extreme, far out, strange people. And anyone that doesn't follow the norm, the program, is considered strange. But all they are is different because they're coming from a different point of perspective. Now, if we can, and we all can do it, if we can open ourselves so that we view this world, perceive this world from the point of infinite consciousness, then I tell you from experience, and I'm not special in any way, I'm just like everyone else, infinite consciousness. And once you do that, your life starts to change, and you see, it's like a veil lifts. And suddenly you can see things you couldn't see before. Why? Because you're seeing them from beyond the matrix and not from within the matrix. And that's the transformation. You know, we don't have to meet this control agenda by stockpiling weapons or hanging Henry Kissinger or any of this stuff I hear. It's about changing our reality by changing our perception of reality. When we do that, our reality must change because we're generating it. And if we come from infinite consciousness in terms of our reality, then our reality in this physical experience is going to change dramatically. And incidentally, we have 120 billion miles of DNA. That was a bit of a shocker when I saw that. And that's antennae, and that's locking us into the matrix all the time. And it's an interesting point, George, about this too, is that because we're dealing with a holographic situation, you can start to project a further understanding, which is this. With a hologram, one of its amazing characteristics is that every part of the hologram contains a smaller version of the whole. You don't get a smaller part or one part of the whole. You get a smaller version of the whole. So if you cut a holographic picture into four, you wouldn't get four quarters of the whole picture. You'd get four smaller versions of the whole picture. This is why reflexologists and acupuncturists, etc., can find all areas of the body, in the feet, in the ear, in the hand, wherever. That has to happen because the body is a hologram, and therefore every part of the body is a smaller version of the whole. Starts to explain why this alternative stuff happens and why they can find the whole body in different parts of the body. But it explains something else. If we are a hologram, then we are going to be a smaller expression of the whole. And so the whole, what I call the super hologram in the book, which you could also call the matrix, also is basically a version of us. And so there is, like we have a central processing unit, the brain, like we have a DNA computer. So this super hologram must have the same. And that fits absolutely with what I'm talking about, with us picking up this holographic frequency reality and turning it into holograms. And in the article, which I put as an appendix in the book, about the Russian scientists who decided the body is a holographic computer, a biological computer, it makes the point about the queen ant. When you have a queen ant and you have all the worker ants, the worker ants can go a long, 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 long way from the queen ant, but the colony still works in coordination and structure. When the queen ant dies, that's when chaos ensues and the whole thing falls apart. Why? Because the queen ant is generating the frequency information to the worker ants, which is the program which they are following. Only when the queen ant, and this can obviously travel over distance, because they're picking it up like a radio set. Once the queen ant dies, then the radio switched off and everything goes into chaos because the instructions are not going anymore. And more than symbolically, it seems to me, that is how this whole matrix reality works. There is some point which is broadcasting a reality which we're picking up. Now, we can accept it and follow the program, or we can bring consciousness in and override the program, in which case we'll live a very different life and have a very different perspective of the reality we're experiencing.
Okay, thanks for that, David. Let's move on. Let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, this is Peter from Newbury Park. We saw David in Pasadena last year, and he quoted the Bible. And I think he quoted it out of context. He talked about Genesis 6 with the Nephilim, where they could have possibly been demons that cohabitated with man. That's entirely possible. However, they died in the flood. But my main point was how he equated...
The Bible says he died in the flood. Do you accept that? Well, maybe others won't, you know?
Well, the fact that the Bible is scientifically, archaeologically, grammatically, and historically and prophetically correct in every single... without a doubt. But what my main point was, you equated Jesus with Ishtar and Baal. The only problem with that is... they can't answer prayer. They can't resurrect you from the dead. They can't restore that baby that might have been aborted or miscarried with his mother, if that woman's in Christ. They can't. They're not God in the flesh.
Okay, I'm not going to move on with that. That's going to get a little too biblical for me. Thanks for the call. West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. Happy birthday, George.
Thank you.
How old are you, George, by the way? It's not a bad question.
Hi, David. Hi, David.
Hello, how you doing?
Yeah, real good, and I read your latest book, Tales from the Time Loop. Very good.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, especially Babylon being the Vatican and the money coming out of London. Yeah, that's
yeah, the progression of the Church of Babylon through to the Church of Rome very, very interesting. And
Here's a question, though. You say infinite love is infinite knowing, and for me, the one, you know, the conundrum is one versus the many,
yeah,
or the one in the many, which you so brilliantly expounded on just about a minute ago. And for me, the one is Yahweh. And when I am in Yahweh, then I am in the super hologram. Now, so my question to you is, who is the knower in your knowing? And I just thank you for the work you're doing.
Thank you very much, indeed. I see it differently. I think the super hologram is the world of vibration, and beyond that is the world of silence, all knowing, and the world of no vibration. Because as this voice said to me in Brazil, if it vibrates, it's illusion. Because to vibrate, something needs two points between which to oscillate. And what this voice was saying to me was that when we talk of oneness, unity, we're talking about one oneness. And because it's unity, there is no polarities. There are no polarities between which to oscillate. Therefore, there is no vibration. It's not only silence. It is stillness. And we talk about going into the stillness of the heart, going into the silence. And what we're doing is going, I would suggest, beyond the super hologram into the realms beyond it, the realms of all-knowingness rather than limitation, rather than thought, rather than emotion, and rather than vibration. And in terms of Yahweh, people have different names. You know, if they want to call oneness Ethel, it really doesn't matter because it just is. We seem desperate as humans to give a name to everything when everything just is. And for me, if you can give a name to what you believe, you're in a prison because everything just is. We all just are. It's what I call in the book the force with no name, because it just is. And once we start putting names to what we believe, names to things, we start to disconnect from the whole and start to create parts rather than the unity of all.
All right, David, the clock has got us. We are wrapping things up right now.
Okay, mate.
Very quickly, where's your next travel plans?
I'm talking in Mount Shasta, which is an amazing place. I've been to twice before. I know a lot of people say, you know, it's a very spiritual place, and that word is thrown around a lot. But I tell you what, Mount Shasta is a heck of a powerful place. And I'm talking there at the end of June. I think it's the 23rd and the 24th in Mount Shasta. So I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Thanks, David. You take care of yourself.
Yeah, happy birthday, mate.
Okay. David Icke. For Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Karis Coburn, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Shama Dasur, and Art Bell, I'm George Norris. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.
Toyota in Culver City, they have an amazing offer going on right now. Zero down on all Toyotas in stock. Now, this is where I got my 4Runner about a month ago, and here's what I want you to do when you go in there. Ask for Mike Salas. He's the general manager, and he's going to take such great care of you. I had a wonderful experience with them, and I know you will too, wherever